There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A wizard groaning sound.
Alive from the Earth's stuffed crust, it's a wheezing groaning sound, the only podcast about Doctor Who. And today we're penetrating Mother Earth and playing us some drill music as we do something to do with Primord that I can't read. So, burn, baby, burn in the Disco Inferno. I'm Tom Neenan, and joining me are two men who are always fracking hilarious.
Oh,
it's Mr. Paul Litchfield, Mr. John Moran.
Oh, hello.
Hello, hello. That's right, today we're doing Inferno. Inferno, the final story of season 7.
What a way to go out.
Yes.
They're all whoppers, aren't they, season 7?
Oh, yeah.
They're all seven parters.
Yeah,
much.
Apart from Spearhead, we've got loads of chunky boys.
Chunky who?
Chunky who?
However, what else was on television on the day of this chunky who?
Well, allow me to furnish you with some answers, by the way, boys. it was, of
by
course.
By the way, I wanted to say thank you for always saying that.
Oh,
appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you're more than welcome. It was slim fucking pickings, boys. It is, of course, Saturday the 9th of May, 1970. Oh. Was there ever such a time? Apparently so. Now, programmes began on BBC One at 10 of the AM with S'il vous plaît, which is an invitation to speak French. Part 23.
Oh, wow.
There you go. And if you were like, oh, I don't want to learn bloody French. Don't worry, because next stop was Wie bitte.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can
yes.
I think it might be your phone is making that phone noise. There you go. Stop.
What does
now.
That mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the mic's.
I know, and I'm sagging.
Wobbling as well.
Oh, we're having issues we're today, having everyone.
Yeah,
in the studio.
One of those days. There's the Middle East,
it used
and then
to be
there's
a
this.
Paradise.
Here we go.
Having a Middle East day.
Yeah. Right. How's that?
Sorry. So that's much better. Thank you.
Great.
Yes, so Wie bitte, is a beginner's course in German. Yeah,
nice.
And that is on after S'il vous plaît. Then, of course, BBC gets tired and it closes down.
Two whole languages. Yeah.
Closes down. Wakes up again, 12:45, for grandstand, bloody grandstand, which goes on until 5:15.
Goodness me.
And then straight after that, you'd think, bit of news. No. Doctor Who.
Ooh,
Inferno.
Quarter past five. Time slot, though. It's perfect.
It's a good time slot, isn't it? There is a bit of a blurb for you,
Thank
Tom.
You.
Here we go. It says thus. Unit are at a project run by Professor... Is it Stallman.
Stallman.
Yes. Who plans to penetrate the Earth's crust, but the drilling releases something deadly from beneath the surface. Which is pretty much.
Yes,
exactly
pretty. They nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
There you go. So wonderful fun there. Straight after Doctor Who, we have It's the Debbie Reynolds Show.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes. Weird write up. It just says The Games. What's it? The Games Married People Play. Right.
Okay.
Okay, is that Keys in a Bone?
With, pampas grass
with
outside
Debbie Reynolds.
The front lawn.
Pampas grass. Try this, it's lovely. So it just says The Games Married People Play. Debbie and family delight and madden. It's like the idea there's a guest who's been maddened by
Yeah.
Just
Victor
seething
madden.
In the corner like, God damn it!
Someone with massive blue balls.
Yeah.
There's always a character who's always meets Betty, what's he called? Frank
Michael,
Spencer,
who
always gets maddened.
Please, Mr. Partridge.
Get out! There's always that, isn't it?
Yeah. Anything, just leave me alone.
It'd be really good if newsreaders got maddened by what they were reading in the news. Anyway, that's the end of the news. Get out!
I think Peter Sissons was always about to, isn't
you
his
think?
Voice. Yeah.
He was always on the verge.
Or Michael Burke. That was the news.
Michael Burke.
Yeah. That was the news.
Michael Burke was the first one to go to Africa, wasn't he? And go, it's horrible.
And
general. I'm horrible. Look what I've done. Yeah. Wasn't it him? He was like, look at them all starving.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And Geldof saw that.
Yeah.
And thought, gotta do something about that now.
Is that your your Geldof?
It wasn't very
That's
good.
That's amazing.
Yeah, very good.
Wow, does Christmas... he give 2 minute warnings, your Geldof?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So good. Imagine if he went, what's he called? Michael Burt went there doing the reports, which had a curly whirly in his hand. Just eating and looking at everyone starving.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be like,
so cruel. The Christmas bells that ring there are the clanging chimes of doom.
That's
famously.
Right, yeah. There won't be snow in Africa this Christmas.
Yeah.
Due to. Normal weather conditions.
Yeah. Normal weather condition.
Obvious weather conditions. Yeah. There'll probably be snow there now, won't there? What with this global warming?
Do you think Midge still got a bit of beef about that? Because didn't he write that song?
Did he?
I think he did. But Geldof gets all the credit for it.
Oh, he wrote?
I'm pretty sure.
Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good song.
Lord.
But everyone associates it with Geldof.
Is it a good song?
I think it's a quite
Does
nice
it stand
song.
Up a divorce from what it was doing?
How often do you listen to it?
Sometimes at Christmas, I skip it after a few seconds.
Do you pop one on? Do you put Christmas music on?
I love Christmas.
It's Christmas time.
I just bought myself because it was cheap on
eBay. Submarine.
No. Now That's What I Call Christmas from the mid-80s record.
Has it got the ones that you don't get anymore?
Yeah, the Gary Glitter ones.
Rock and Roll Christmas.
Exactly.
Shakin' Stevens. This old Christmas has got no Christmas. Yeah. This old Christmas has got no Christ.
Behind the Christmas door.
Yeah. A massive pine of mist.
But I'm returning. I mean, I love Christmas songs, but do you think Midge is a bit like, I fucking wrote that and no one ever talks about me?
But he's got Vienna to sit back
on. Yeah, but
he got
beef with that as well because he couldn't get a number one because of Joe Dolce.
Well, yeah, but Shut Up, Your Face is a Masterpiece.
Yeah, yeah.
True. They should have sent that to Africa.
They should have.
What's the matter? You have nothing to eat. Ah, shut up, your
we
face.
We have had no food in over. Shut up, your face. This flies Brutal. In your face. Oh, Joe.
Joe
Dolce.
Why is Michael Berg having a chuck ice in the corner?
Yeah. Do you think he could have done a Christmas version of that? That was called something
Look at us all remembering things.
Yeah. Isn't that the floral dance?
No, that's floral dance. It's bum ba ba dum ba ba bum bum. No, it's not even that. That's something else. That was Rocky. Bum ba ba bum bum bum. No, floral dance is all together in the
floral dance.
The big bass drum. Here's Uncle Wogan with his big hairy bum.
That one. Broadcast under manager.
Yeah, that's right. Broadcast under manager. Don't go in there.
Boobs.
Hello, Ken. Well met. I love the way he says well met. Anyway, so that
it's
was all the
back.
Debbie Reynolds show, by the way. That was all the Debbie Reynolds show
course,
we talked
covered,
about. After that
covered.
Was Dad's Army.
Hey!
Yay, Dad's Army.
Is this an original broadcast? This wasn't a repeat. This was actually Dad's 1970? Army.
Yeah, it started in, what, 67 or something?
There you go. There you go. The episode's called Room at the Bottom.
Don't panic, Mr. Medwig.
That's it.
Don't panic, Mr. Medwig.
I don't like... anal!
That's his catchphrase, isn't it?
Yeah, we're all doomed.
Mr. Mandarin, I just strangled Mrs. Foxfur.
Mr. Mandarin, can I go for a shit? That's what he said.
Do you think it's wise to shit yourself?
Were you doing Pike?
Yeah. No, that was me being Godfrey.
Godfrey, yes. That's very good.
I might be a war criminal.
Yeah. Who wants to buy some tights?
Oh, that's the dodgy bit.
Walker,
Spivvy McSpiv. Yeah. He was rubbish.
He died, didn't he? He died there to recast him.
No. Yeah. What did he die of?
A heart attack.
Spivs.
Talfourin Thomas, wasn't it, was replaced
him? That's right, yeah. Yeah. Mr. Mean Wedding.
It's rubbish when they. I was about to say repair someone. That's not that. Replace them.
Croft and Perry were legendary for it, weren't they?
Oh, no, look, I've been served.
Yeah. Died on the job, we'll get somebody else in.
Is
some
it,
of the choices.
Is it good when they replace an actor in a sitcom? Or, to paraphrase, Merrifield, yes or no?
Well, I know you're both very much yes on the Merrifield. I'm afraid I'm a Merrifield no.
I was going to say, have you not wavered?
No, never. No.
Still
never
Merrifield
waver.
No.
Never waver, I'm a Merrifield no. EastEnders, I'm a firm yes for the recast.
Okay.
That's amazing, isn't it?
EastEnders?
Yeah,
like
they always...
Martin?
Like Martin's been... Oh, it's been 100
right.
Martins.
Yeah. 100 you know? Martins.
Oh, yeah.
An infinite amount of Martins.
Yeah.
Why didn't they recast Dirty Den?
Because he died.
Mm. Yeah, no, but they brought him back, though, didn't they? And then he got caught wanking.
Yeah.
Could have just recast him.
Which sounds like the sort of thing Dirty Den would have done.
Yeah.
Dirty Den could have collapsed. Mm. And
he's
then
called Dirty Den.
He could have turned over and we've seen him regenerate.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
To who? That'd be great.
But the British
via wanking.
Yeah. They universally like went, we will accept you murdering a man.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you have
a
German man.
But you, sir, have now crossed the line.
A German man, which in the eyes of the British in those days is half a man.
Well, yes. Fine.
Like, legally.
Know,
that was
listen,
okay,
they bombed our chip shops.
Yeah, yeah.
I can never forgive that.
Fuckers.
Yeah, well, quite.
I'm imagining Dirty Den doing Colin's speech when he wakes up in... in the twin dilemma.
It's three eyes in one breath. Makes me sound a rather egotistical young lady.
Yeah, with Doc Cotton hovering over him with her ample bosom.
Oh, yeah. And him throttling Willie. Yeah.
Ethel with her two willies out. So that was Dad's Army. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
The room at the bottom. Captain Mannering discovers he's not actually a commissioned officer. So hilarity will ensue there.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you can't tell us what to do anymore.
I do remember that one, actually.
Yeah, really? Like, stupid pricks. That'll be that show.
You dozy cunts.
What a lot of fucking Mr. Men there are.
Tell you what, though, Dad's Army, another rare occasion where the movie of the show is good.
Which is very random. Tell you what, my dad can't stand.
Go on.
When Mannering's brother turns up.
When Mannering's brother turns up.
He doesn't like it. He thinks it's too sad.
I think that's my favourite episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's just a drunk, isn't he? And he's like,
he's a sot. Everything Mannering pretends not to be.
Yes.
He's common and he's a drunk. And he's coarse.
Yes.
Didn't they also do that in Downton Abbey?
I don't know.
With Jim Carter. His brother turns up.
Is it split screen?
He's like, give us a bit of money, would you, Jim Carter? Yeah, he's all like, look, don't embarrass me in front of Lord Wonderful. There's all that shit going on.
Did they really?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. I think they pulled that. Literally lifted it from Dad's Army.
Wow. That's
disgusting. Yeah. Poor Jim Carter.
Anyway, after Dad's Army was, it's the Black and White Minstrel Show, and we will move on.
Yes.
Because after that was a man. Called Ironside.
Oh,
lovely.
This episode, A World of Jackals.
Hello.
It's a great name, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we do have a little bit of blurb. A frightened girl telephones for help but is kidnapped.
Great name for a band, by the way, World of Jackals.
World of Jackals.
Yeah. It's great.
Was Ironside
gay?
Gay? I don't think so.
I don't think he was a little teapot, no. I think he was a rutting. John, both and I reached the same conclusion immediately. Was he? What, he played the theremin?
Yeah.
His theme?
It was Quincy Jones to the theme.
I can't even get it right.
That sounded like something else.
Yeah,
luckily, we don't have to pay any royalties.
He was in the wheelchair, wasn't he?
He was. And I thought it was, he's in the wheelchair and he gets like shot out of the wheelchair and that was the opening title.
Shot out of the wheelchair? Like a stuntman? Is that one of the things I could do? Yeah. So often? Like a human cannonball?
Yeah, they just put him down the big hill.
Yeah, you're like O.J. Simpson at the end of
exactly. That's what I was thinking.
There's an episode where he's in front of a skyscraper and there's no way you can get in there inside. He's like, watch this. Press the button. There he goes. No, let's just settle. He was bi-curious.
Yeah.
Let's just say that every episode, for some reason, he has to go to a sauna.
Yeah.
Doesn't explain
sat
why.
Sat in his wheelchair. Yeah. Yeah. Makes an awful sound when he moves his buttocks on it. anyways, man called Ironside.
There you go.
After that, at 11 o'clock was, whatever next?
Whatever next?
What is this all about? I have no idea. This is what it says for whatever next, verbatim. In one eye and out the other.
Oh, dear.
Music, lay structures. Mime, Adam Darius. Poem, Trevor Adams. The Weather with King Lear. Cartoons, meet Dan Granny, who visits a supermarket. And a song from Afghanistan. Whatever next?
The Weather by King Lear.
Cruel winds and
for sooth I find that there be a storm approaching the kingdom.
I was going to say, it's not though, isn't it? Winter I Discontent is...
Richard III.
Richard III. Yeah. So...
He was in the toilet.
Now it's the summer of our... We're feeling quite nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Midsummer King Night's Eve could be the summer one.
Is King Lear the one that was all...
King Lear was old.
That's King Lear.
He had three sons.
Wouldn't mind a bit of her stanzas.
He was leering, wasn't he?
He was leering. He's a leering king.
King Lear comes out and says...
He comes out and he says...
Like Ironside.
With Ironside. A lot of people are saying there's going to be a gale. I just want to tell you, it's not going to happen.
Have you ever interviewed that woman, the woman who wrote in and said...
She killed herself.
She is the best I told you so in the world.
Yeah. Well, I can assure you that's...
That and the woman who faces Thatcher and goes, but you were the Bagrana was going towards the thing. I love that one.
Yeah.
That's like, fuck off!
Starts crying, doesn't
she? Miss Cathcart!
Sue Pollard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Mm. She's playing her in the reconstruction.
She's going to sing the theme
reckoning
as well.
She is.
I'm the Iron Lady, and I'm not for turning.
Mm.
Oh, my brow's not burning, because I'm not a feminista.
That was Sue Pollard as Margaret Thatcher. And if you listen to this podcast for anything, it's that.
That alone.
Yeah, yeah.
What would her one woman show as Thatcher be called? Because it has to have a jaunty name, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. This lady's not for matinees, and she only does an evening.
Oh, lovely.
That would be the subtitle. I suggest something like just called Iron.
Okay. Iron. Yeah. Iron Will.
Iron. Yeah. Just one word, like when
Pig Iron.
Well, the man who made Oliver, he did a Robin Hood musical and called it Twang.
Oh, I see.
That's fun.
Something like that about Thatcher.
If it's a musical, could you?
Cunt.
Good.
Is that good?
I'd call it Lucky Once.
Lucky Once.
And it's
that sounds like a great Michael Elphick. We only need to be Lucky Once.
Sounds like a Michael Elphick vehicle to me. I was only lucky once. That sort of thing.
Yeah, well, you could adapt I Should Be So Lucky.
Yes.
Ah, into The Iron Lady.
Yeah. I'm the Iron Lady.
Oh, I see. Yes.
I'm the Iron Lady.
Oh! So she puts a little blue rosette on.
Yeah, yeah.
Pin goes in there. Oh!
We may have Paul Shane as Kinnock.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, all right. He falls into
Maggie.
It's Maggie. Oh, you'll never be a yellow liberal Democrat. Yeah.
You'll never be Prime Minister.
Oh. Yeah, anyway, I'm definitely going to watch that
when
it happens, which is going to happen, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, that was Whatever Next.
Sure.
Jesus. Mm, cool. On BBC Two, programmes began at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 1970.
I love it. BBC Two, if BBC Two was a person in the 1970s, you'd be really worried about them, wouldn't you?
Like, BBC Two, but go and clean your room.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. Stinks in it. Ridiculous. Is that the first broadcast of BBC Two?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, welcome to BBC Two. Stinks in it.
So it just opens the broom cupboard.
Everything is folding in. Anyway, progress began at 3.
By the way, I don't think we've ever had an episode where we haven't said stinky.
I think it's in our rider now.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Programs began at 3 o'clock with Saturday Cinema.
Yep.
Jumping for Joy, it's called, a film. Frankie Howard, a road sweeper, buys a sickly greyhound.
Oh,
and I bet you.
He's old, stupid old fool. He won't run.
Don't give him a chop.
Oh, and he's being dressed as a cat. Oh.
And I bet it turns out to be a champion greyhound.
Yeah, oh,
yeah.
Your bloody thing don't run. Of course he does. He just needs to,
Reminds me of Steptoe and Son Ride Again, where they get a whippet and they think it's going to win.
Yes, it doesn't go anywhere.
Turns out it needs glasses.
Yes, that's true.
So they make a stripper
in it as well.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Wow.
Yikes. Yeah, okay. So well done, Frankie, for that hilarious film.
Once again, there's only one Stepton So film we can watch, because there's the one where Harry wins, doesn't he?
Yeah, he goes on a honeymoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And his dad comes with.
He didn't like that.
The wedding.
There's one where he does get away in the end. Like, the film ends with him, like, I'll see you later, Dad.
Oh, yeah, that is the first one.
Yes, yeah.
I'll dance over your corpse.
Second one's got the greyhound and the dad pretending to be dead, but actually getting buried because he falls asleep.
That's right. He falls asleep at the wake, doesn't he? Yeah. And then gets out.
Youth of Joyce is in it.
Brilliant stuff.
Wow.
And Dinah Dawes is in it as well.
She is in the beginning.
Or she might be in the first one. When he comes to collect rag and bone stuff, she's answering the door with like... Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, I was trying to give up.
One second. That's it.
An overweight middle-aged lady, bloody hell.
And then he's like, I'm a white kid. I'm heading to the hill. All over the... horse. anyway, after Jumping for Joy, BBC Two went, oh, let's close down.
We've
just woken up. Let's close down again.
Our ribs hurt too much from Frankie.
Yeah. Let's have a moment to reflect.
Yeah.
So they closed down for an hour and 20 minutes. Then they woke up again with news, sport, weather, followed by, at 8:05, Gardener's World.
Hey! Oh, lovely.
And the write-up is thus. Percy Thrower shows us his flowering bulbs. They knew what they were doing at the Radio
really
Times.
Whoever did this is mentally ill.
Yeah. One day the person just laughed. Fucking hate gardening. I've always hated it. Pave over it all. Up the workers.
I always wanted to be an exotic dancer.
Always. So he's in a
always
fedora and a
basque. Tassels on under his shirt.
Tassels on his testicles.
Yeah.
Also, that's the last in the present series of Gone as well.
And I'll be back next week.
After Garden as well was Yesterday's Witness, a look back at old BBC interviews. This time, Soswell Mosley.
Oh, blimey. Well, quite telling to what we're going to be talking about today, isn't it?
Ah, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
He'd
have
his own GB News show now, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Did Oswald Mosley ever do Desert Island Discs?
Oh, I don't know.
What if he did?
There's a clip that's been circulating a lot with Enoch Powell.
No, like, that's it, it's a knockout.
Enoch Powell's got that, like, weird way of speaking, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's a little... Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what part of his voice is coming from, but it's I mean, lots of things not to like him for.
My dad's a duck pal and I'm a terrible razor.
And I've just never put in.
A little bit like Mr. Rumbold. Oh, peacock. Peacock.
He's like strained and through it. Yeah, very odd.
Like weird
Mr.
adenoids.
Rumbold. Mr. Rumbold had one big ear and one little ear,
didn't
he?
One cauliflower ear and one poppet.
One with absolutely like
huge,
as if he was constantly always going, what?
Well, you see, hear everything that one. He could hear what's going on in Australia.
You could probably put him on a little turntable and turn him around and he'd pick up sonar.
He's in Carry On Dick as well.
Is he?
Oh, he is, isn't he?
Yeah. Hello, my lover,
he says.
Oh, nice.
This is my cauliflower ear. He's
a very strange looking man.
Very odd looking man, but a wonderful, gave a lot to charity.
He did.
Oh, good.
And then took a lot from it. So that's
he's also the voice of the vicar in Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Get off,
oh,
is
really?
He?
He was still knocking around then.
Yeah, he's dead now, of course.
Oh,
bless.
That's very good. It's a bit like the vicar in Dad's Army. He was knocking around for a long time, wasn't
he? Yeah, he's still dead now?
Yes, I see him sometimes at the BBC Christmas End parties.
Very
early
good.
Early days. Yeah.
Him and Parsons.
And Roy Hudd.
Yeah.
No, we talked about Roy Hudd.
We've talked about Roy Hudd.
He fell up onto a roof.
Fell up onto a roof.
And Rod Hull fell down the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to have a system.
Yeah.
It's the only way I remember him.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, after yesterday's witness, look back with Sir Aldwyn Mosley, was the young generation dancing with, I don't know what this means, dancing with Rare Bird. In Conduct Unbecoming.
Ooh, hello. Oh,
hello. There's a band called Rare Bird.
Oh, I'd go and see him.
Yeah.
Anyway, after that was 30 Minute Theatre.
Ooh.
Is That Your Body Boy? It's the name of the play. The gym is Cracker Carstairs' personal domain. So the character is called Cracker Carstairs
was the name.
Yeah. So, like, is that the kind of thing where, obviously, you'd have people who served in the Second World War who then teach, and he's teaching, like, he's maybe a teacher teaching gym, and he's like...
That's exactly what this is about.
Yeah. Right there, boy.
Exactly.
Climb that rope immediately.
The gym is Cracker Carstairs' personal domain. As an old army sweat.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
He puts his boys through hell.
Oh, I bet. Imagine. You wouldn't ever sweat the Hun with an attitude like that, would you? Mm.
Says David, doing press-ups. Naked! On my head! Oh, Cracker Carstairs.
Oh, no.
Well done, boys. I thoroughly enjoyed
it. His brother, Cracker Jack, was like,
Oh, Cracker Jack.
He gave you a pencil and a
cabbage.
Cabbage.
Yeah. From Percy Thoreau's garden. It was only on a bit before. Percy, I don't fucking want it. Yeah. I'm a stripper.
Check it out.
Anyway, after whatever that was the last thing on BBC Two, which is Disco Two.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. Tommy Vance.
Oh, Tommy Vance.
Yes, Tommy Vance talks to the groundhogs and family.
Because Tommy Vance later in life was like, hard rock Tommy Vance.
Oh, was he?
He'd introduce stuff at the Donington Monsters of Rock Festival. And he had a voice like that.
Was Tommy Vance one of the people who got done by Brass Eye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've gone and done it again, ain't ya? He has to do stuff for prisoners.
He does.
It's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's for re-offenders. Yeah. The first thing he says is, so you've gone and done it again, ain't ya?
They gonna stitch you up good and proper.
And then, these are some of the terms you need to know when you're in prison. This is utter drivel.
Yeah. A gazza is a gas coin, which is a type of
gas
currency.
Gas coin is currency in chokey. Anyway, that was your television delight song.
But why?
Why
would you be doing any of that when you could be watching Inferno episode one? We begin in media res.
Yes. Well, we begin with library footage.
We do. We begin with library
Every
footage.
Every episode begins with library footage.
We do get a bit of a difference here from any other episodes. You not only get the titles, but you get a little, like you say, a little bit of... footage of a little bit of lava.
A little bit of lava. They had different openings for most of Series 7. So in Ambassadors of Death, it would say Ambassadors. And then it would go, ba-doing, and then it would say Death underneath.
Of Death as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So they're trying stuff a bit different,
That's
which
nice,
I like.
Playful.
Yeah.
Enjoy it
up a bit.
And then the Doctor is in Bessie. having a little sing-song, driving towards...
Everyone's having a sing-song.
Yeah. There's a bloke on a bike, like, wish someone I work, I hope I don't get killed.
But the doctor's
it's
doing
a booze,
kind of...
I'm a booze cruise, and I'm going to be a bird. You
know. The doctor's doing kind of a...
Yeah.
Only
Pertwee.
Only Pertwee would do that.
He's loving it. He's absolutely loving it. And it starts off quite... Yeah, I really like the tone they hit early on here because he turns up and obviously it's very stressful because everything's happening at the at this drilling site.
Yeah.
And well, it's Stallman. I mean, what a Stallman. He's hard worker this man is.
Oh, he's belligerent,
isn't
he?
There's no talking to him.
No.
Oh.
He just... It's going to happen, isn't it? It's
one track mind.
Yeah. Because they want to find Stallman's gas. Which is hidden.
Well, they found that at the BBC canteen. Yeah.
You should go in the toilet after him.
Stallman's gas. He's already named a gas after himself. Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's so funny because of how old it is. In those days, a source of energy would have to be gas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, no gas. Idea that it could be anything else.
Or wicker.
Yeah.
We've hit a seam of solid wicker.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they're doing that. And there's a lot of personnel. You've got Sir Keith, played by Henry Gordon Jago himself.
I love Sir
Keith. He's brilliant.
He's lovely, isn't he? Mm.
Yeah.
Also... I'm sure people can tell me if this is true or not. Surely someone who he's been in New Who. He was in the Unicorn and the Wasp, and he's here. So it's like that's quite a span of. Is that no? Obviously, William Russell is the biggest span of that. But it's not bad, is it? It's not bad.
And he was in the band Steely's Band.
Yeah, so that's very impressive. So there's him. There's your workman.
Oh, the workmen. Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
Just getting on a bit, don't worry about me. Lots of green ooze, is it coming out of the park? I might lick that.
You look like Swarfiga.
Yeah.
They love that. They can wash their tool with that. I just wash my dirty tool in that, if you don't
mind. He dips in his tool.
Listen, I've got a lot of detritus on the end of my well thumbed wrench. Might have a dip it in your bogey coloured feathery vagrant.
So what's the deal here? This stuff, this stuff that's coming out.
It's never explained, really.
No, not really.
But it's never explained.
We need to set parameters here because it's going to be important for the rest of the story.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It seems that as soon as you touch it,
you immediately
turn into
a primal thing.
Jeff Tips from
Ladies and Gentlemen.
You either turn immediately or it takes forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, apparently, we'll get there. When we get there, I'll explain because I read something about this.
Oh,
turn into a mandrill.
You turn into a mandrill immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
So a man from drill.
A man from a drill.
Yeah. From a drill.
There you go.
That's probably where it comes from.
That's where mandrills come from.
The derivation of that word.
Take that, Attenborough.
Yeah.
And baboons, they've come from balloons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you
Barbara
tell us
Windsor's
we're wrong.
Boobs, they come from baboons.
You dare write in and tell us that we're wrong.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So the Brigadier's there as well.
Love him.
Oh, he's so good.
As a sort of intermediary.
Mm. Yeah.
He
leads
there just a sort of cautionary
eye. He's not stepping on anyone's toes until he has to.
Yeah, which is quite rare for him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you've got the sort of. Sir Keith represents the ministry.
Mm. Yes.
And you've got Stallman and his science cronies.
Yes.
Then they've got. Then you've got UNIT, and now we also have Sutton.
I love Sutton.
Who's great.
I would die for Sutton.
Oh, he's very sexy
man,
isn't he?
In both parallel worlds.
Oh, don't
alert.
Give it away.
I'll say, in both areas, I'll say, he's a joy.
Areas.
Him and is it Petra?
Petra.
Oh, they're little, lovely little through arms.
Really nice.
Yeah.
And by the end, bloody hell. I'll show you another inferno.
I'll show you another inferno in a minute.
Luckily, the Brigadier is given something to do.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's a murder, thank goodness.
Thank God.
Yeah.
There's lots yeah. of, we've got to get this drill down to Sector 9.
Yeah, yeah.
The drill won't get down there. I say it will.
Yeah. It's all that.
Stop
all that.
Your blithering interfering. Yeah. Need yes. to drill into the Earth's core.
Yes, but it's overheating. Well, it doesn't matter.
This is the point at which I do, you have to look at it from Stallman's point of view, though, which is he's got this operation. He's, this could revolutionise energy forever.
Yeah.
And then...
He's named gas after himself.
Yeah. And then a bloke turns...
We've all done that.
Yeah.
I normally blame it on the dog.
Yeah. A bloke turns up dressed as Jimi Hendrix Dracula. It's like causing problems. You're like, oh, get rid of it. I don't want that guy around.
You know what? This story as well made me realise that when he says he's the doctor, no one ever says... What's your actual
yeah.
name?
Yeah. Yeah.
In here, he's like, who are you? He goes, yeah. I'm the doctor. And they're like, all right, fine.
Good enough for me, that.
Pointing at things and saying you've done stuff wrong and things. And he's like, well, that's annoying.
Well, doctor's only really there to sort of go, can I just literally siphon off a bit of the power because I want to do my own tinkering?
Yeah.
He's not really there to help at all.
Yeah, this was the era when, obviously, he's stuck on Earth, but when it was just the console. That was like knocking around in sort of a garage.
It looks so weird.
It does, doesn't it?
Where was the actual TARDIS? They'd broken it at this point and they had to build a new one.
I think they had the old prop, I think.
When you first go into the garage, he opens the door with the sonic.
Yeah. Mm.
But the door looks like the interior of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I thought for a moment, is he just changed the interior of his TARDIS to look like a garage? Yeah.
That would have been a lovely
Which would have
touch.
Been cool.
Yeah. Oh, I'd have loved that.
Because that's what I thought, because he opens it and inside it's got the blue with the windows. Yeah. It looks exactly like the TARDIS. So I was like, oh, but then clearly it is not.
No, it's just, it's there and it's all plugged in. Yeah. But you could have had that inside the set, but I don't know if they didn't want that set another standard.
It looks mad just having the console by itself.
Yeah, it really does.
Because it now just looks like white goods that you find on a tip.
It's like putting the Enterprise bridge on the forecourt of a garage.
In a BP station. Just a cost of coffee for me. And make it so.
Thank you.
Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a barrister.
Anyway. But he's having a tinker.
He's having a little tinker with all the stuff. And also,
with lovely Liz.
Lovely Liz. She's very good, isn't she?
She has great fun in this.
Yeah.
Did she only stick around for like one or two series and then left?
One series, She's gone. The next story, she's gone.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
What's the next story?
It's The Terror of the Autons.
The Death of Liz.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yes, we did that one, I remember that.
Yeah. She's sacked for being too clever. So everything's kind of there's a dreadful business with the doctor says it's a dreadful business, a murder without a motive.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd say
any murder.
Yeah. I'm gonna go on a limb and say any
murder. Was there a motive? Yeah, slept with his wife.
Yeah.
It's fine though. Yeah.
Oh, good.
That doesn't bother me. Blah, 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 blah.
because the handyman has gone mad.
Yeah, he's turning to Jeff Tibbs.
Yeah.
You know, I've got this wrench, don't you? Death by Mau Mau.
I want the mums.
Yeah.
Actually, the song that the doctor should have been singing at the beginning on Betty, because it's perfect for him, is ba 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 ba.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah, but he didn't do it.
No.
It's a shame.
And so then, at one point, so there's basically, there's a lot of stuff. You're establishing all the people that work at the drill.
Yeah.
That he's siphoning off the power.
Some nuclear power. The TARDIS.
Which he uses, and then he switches it on, and then we get the most exquisite Pertwee Gurnathon.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a close-up in the dark of him just going...
And someone's got like a chiffon curtain behind him.
Yeah.
And then he just goes... looks like the opening sequence of 24's and Aussie. We got your bear, bro. He should have just put that gurning like thing, that horse brass that they put on gurning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's only Pertwee can do this.
At this point, though, I did think, why are we drilling for new power when we've got nuclear power?
Well, this is nuclear plus.
Right, okay.
Nice, because this gas is going to be incredible.
Nuke light.
Yeah.
How incredible, though.
Well, it's Starman's gas.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So
imagine it's the 1970s and your mum comes downstairs and you're like, I mean, I know you're born yet, but let's say 6, 7, 10 years into the future, obviously everything's been powered now by Stallman's gas.
Stallman's gas, thank goodness.
You'll be like, Mum, the TV's not working. She'd be like, fart in it. And then we're on BBC Two. Because of Stallman's gas.
How amazing would it have been if we never cut away from the John Pertwee Gurning, and it was 7 episodes.
For the rest
it would be my favourite episode of all time.
Just 3 hours.
We'll go,
then it ends.
And then it does the cliffhanger, and then it does the recap. Yeah. Next episode, him gurning again, yeah, and then it carries on.
Would the cliffhanger be he just stops?
Yeah.
And then when he comes back, he just carries on. Yeah. No, I've got six more of these cliffhangers now. Just stops, looks at the camera.
Terrence Dix in the behind.
Like to singing.
I actually wrote this episode.
Yeah. I'll wrote all of this.
Just whatever. I'll put the test card on. That was all he wanted to do. So, yeah. And then the drill head starts going wrong.
Yes. Well, it does that every episode.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
Every episode, they're like, for God's sake, man, stop.
Stallman has just created he's just created a death trap, basically. They're in a situation where it's, all hell's breaking loose with that.
Yes,
and
there's a nuclear power surge and the coolant is jammed.
Yes.
Apparently. Coolant is jammed.
The coolant they're
what
using...
What if the crossbeams have come off treadle?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then, are they called a Primord, the blue fella?
Primords, yeah.
Jumps out, doesn't he? Yeah. And that's the end of part
they got
one.
They got good sound effect. But they look stupid.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous.
Captain Caveman, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So part two. The Primord shot.
Sutton saves the day.
He does.
He releases the coolant flow.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Because he's like, damn it, I've worked on oil rigs all my life.
Just say, if I was the health and safety inspector of this plant, I'd be very happy with the job well done, because you go no more than 4 feet when there's a fire extinguisher.
Yes.
Oh my, everywhere.
Everywhere
hanging
you look.
In midair. Yeah.
It is a bit like a video game, isn't it? Where you can pick up that ammunition just lying around on the floor.
I'll just go make a cup of tea over the cupboard and 8 fire extinguishers.
This tea's too hot. Hang on, I've got just the thing.
Also,
there we
can
go.
I ask a question? Do you think these are actual fire extinguishers they were using? Because there's a lot of... You know when you use a fire extinguisher?
It look like it.
When you see people using fire extinguishers, it coughs up loads of powder.
Right.
There's bits where people get a fire extinguisher and it coughs up powder all over. Thinking, are these real fire extinguishers? That can't have been good.
Well, it depends what fire you're trying to put out. Obviously, some are foam.
Some are powder, of course.
Some are powder.
But also, let's remember, it's 1970, so I'd imagine they were real fire extinguishers because nobody gave a shit.
Oh, they're just filled with asbestos. And they're spraying asbestos everywhere.
Everybody in this series
they're all eating
lead
for love,
of course.
So, the primal shot against the wall.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scorches the wall because it's so hot.
Because it's so hot.
Yes, of course.
Because these things are so hot. Even the wrench earlier, they couldn't touch the wrench because it's so hot.
No.
Yeah.
It's the regression of the body cells is what we're told.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why a regression would make you stronger and hotter.
I don't know. But the doctor does save the day. He says he's seen this before when he once visited Krakatoa and you're supposed to go, all right then.
Oh. Sure. That
you've
makes
seen
sense.
That before. When you
well, it was
Krakatoa.
The sound, wasn't it? Like,
oh,
that sound
right?
is Krakatoa.
Yeah. Which is, of course, the sound of Krakatoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're outside and the doctor spots Wyatt.
Yeah.
And they go on a little chase,
he's
don't
infected.
They? Now, I like this chase because
it's great.
It reminds me of, you know, those videos you have to watch in like chemistry, which was like, here's how we make pig iron. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be like in the 70s and it'd be people in these horrible like industrial places just pouring bits of metal into other bits of metal.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. And I was like, oh, that's quite nice.
It does feel very public information film.
Yeah.
Don't run on walkways.
Don't
There's
run
a
on
lot
walkways.
Of outside broadcast action in these six, isn't there?
Running
around the estate where it was filmed. Mm-hmm. And what I love is it's just all the way through it, there's just normal traffic going past, people going about there. This is so funny.
I often look at those people in cars and things and think they were just driving in their day and they don't know.
No idea that
Doctor
they're
Who.
In the background of a Doctor Who.
That's them. Yeah. Maybe that could be like their alibi. Well, their alibi for a murder or something.
Yeah. I was in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Think you'll find.
So Wyatt falls off the gantry.
Yeah.
Good stunt, this.
Well, do we know who else has done this stunt?
Who else?
Oh, yes. Leslie Ash. She landed on her lips.
Oh, no.
She was in Inferno, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, God, who else?
Who else?
Mr. Toby Haydock, off of the documentary.
Get off. He did it.
He jumped off of a gantry.
Oh, well done, pushed. Toby.
Yeah,
it
was scary. The Havoc people.
Toby, that's amazing.
Yeah, well done.
It was he mid-talking when they pushed him
off? Yeah. So I want to talk to you about Fraser Hines was talking to me. And then they just push him and he's...
when you push.
Yeah. It was really fun landing on those cardboard boxes. Yeah, we didn't know they were down.
Yeah.
No idea. It's normally where we keep all our... spikes.
All the broken glass.
All the broken glass and spikes hand.
Toby's so efficient, he was writing his own obituary on the way down as well.
That's paper. Massive. I didn't know Toby was a
stuntman. And he interviewed two former Hoodoo actors before he fell. Right?
Yeah. Got those in. And then and he landed. But yeah, check that out. It's on the extras for the Inferno DVD.
Toby, well done. I know.
Yeah, well done.
Yes.
So what's happening now is everyone's getting slightly infected, aren't they?
They're all getting infected.
From the scientists.
With
and the soldiers that fight the scientists, if they touch them or go near them, they also get
what
infected.
What I couldn't quite get a grasp on is once you're a Primord, if you touch someone else, is it like zombies?
It seems to be.
Seems to be.
Okay, yeah.
But also seems to be later that it's only Stallman that seems to be able to do the passing the infection.
Right,
from his
hand. Yeah.
Mm.
But I don't know. It's not clear.
No.
Because they don't know themselves.
Yeah. So Keith has found some ooze in a box.
Yeah.
And the Brigadier has to talk to Stallman and sort of discuss all this. And the ooze. Doesn't Stallman get. Then he gets green on his hand.
Yes, he touches it. So from now on, he starts wearing white gloves.
Yes. Yeah.
Like white Mickey Mouse gloves.
like he's an umpire at a snooker match. Yeah.
At one point, he picks up John Pertwee's testicles and
polishes them off.
Polish.
Chalks them up.
Yeah.
A possessed Stallman starts stealing some computer parts.
Yes.
For various nefarious reasons.
Starts sabotaging.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he even takes Mr. Cadbury's parrot.
Doctor calls Stallman a nitwit.
I love that.
I love that.
A nitwit. Oh.
And then that was a... it's happened again. It's gone.
I've dropped my bottle.
John stopped the top of his...
Oh, no. Spellegrino.
Is it Spellegrino?
It's
Pellegrino. Pellegrino.
San Pellegrino.
I'm a fizzy water.
You got no top, no go flat.
The doctor is sort of manhandled by an army guy.
Yeah.
He gets out of it with some Aikido where he goes, "I damn it!"
Yep.
"I damn it!"
This is his Venusian karate.
It
Venusian
is.
Venusian karate. Yeah.
Is it Stallman he does that to?
He freezes him to the spot.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, and he does it later on with two guards when they're escorting him. He just goes, "Sorry, gentlemen."
Yeah.
Basically does Vulcan neck pinches.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I love... These are clearly John's ideas.
Oh, they're all his ideas.
There's no way a writer's gone, "I want you to do some Venusian karate."
He's written
gone,
all that in.
See what would be good?
I've got an idea. Mm. Yeah,
exactly. I fucking love
trousers down
so
and I climb up a pylon.
No.
John. Yeah.
What an incredible man he was.
I know, he's a joy. Mm.
But then he pulls a fast one on Liz.
He does.
Yes.
He tells Liz to go and double check his maths, even though she's like, "But you got brilliant at maths."
But he says he's... old.
Yeah. Well, I'm very old and I'm drunk. He says, fucking...
I'm fucking wasted.
I just ate a cup of green ooze.
So she goes to check. Then the Brigadier's like, "No, he knows that you can't check it because the computer's broken."
Yeah.
She's like, "Oh, doctor!
Oh, girl, what have you done?"
And so they run back to his garage, and there he is, and he's on the console. Him, Bessie, and the console disappear. He's gone.
Disappear.
Where's he gone?
Don't know.
No.
We just don't know.
End of part two.
Good
part
Lord.
Three. We're getting through
it. We are part three already.
Yeah.
Time flies.
I have skipped over quite a few details, but...
the actor who plays Stallum, his name's Olaf Pooley.
Lovely.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, Olaf Pooley.
Olaf Pooley.
Oh, it's like My Little Pony, isn't it?
Yeah.
Olaf Pooley.
Skinny and bony. He's made of plastic. Can't
he's
do
got
the other
a
bit now.
Mane. insane.
Lovely stuff.
Pula Pooley. Comes from a long line of Pooleys.
And he can arch an eyebrow like nobody else can.
And does he know the Ruly Pooleys?
Imagine if they all came in this episode for no reason.
Yes, what happened if you touch a green nose, you turn to Roly Poly. I start tap dancing with Les Dawson.
Can I just say, when we think Roly Polies, we all only think of that one woman.
Mo.
The one with the short hair
and the
glasses.
Little Mo.
Yeah. There was about six of them, but I couldn't tell you where any of the others were.
No, it's always Little Mo.
Always
I'm getting mixed up. I thought you were talking about Wibble Wobbles, the toys, but no.
Oh, no.
Wibble Wobbles?
You mean the
Weebles?
Oh.
The Weebles?
The Weebles?
Yeah, Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I don't know who the Wibble Wobbles are.
I don't know what that was.
I think that's what you get if you come up from diving too quickly. Yeah. That's your Collie Wobbles.
So,
that's when a dog does it.
Part three. The Doctor, the Console, and Bessie arrive in Hitler World.
Hitler World! This is when it gets good.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
It's standard Doctor Who story, really, at the moment.
Can I just say, which is... fuck off, Marvel. Doctor Who did multiverses.
Yeah.
1970.
Exactly.
Come on. Mm. Yeah.
So this is very exciting. So there's a poster on the wall of a man.
Now, apparently, this man is just someone who works on the show.
Yeah.
Right.
That. I thought he was going to be like an actor who comes into it later. Nope.
He does not. No, he's just sort of a leader, isn't he? Is he meant to look like Oswald Mosley
or think
someone?
So.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Just meant to go like, oh, this is a bit of a dodgy old place that the doctor's ended up in.
Yeah.
And the doctor shot at.
Shot.
Yeah, and he gets in Bessie and drives around and tries to avoid being shot, which is, you know, that's John. Like,
in a small moving yellow car.
Yeah, with an open
with
top.
No roof.
No roof.
Christ.
Incredible.
But he knew it was going to happen.
Yeah,
You're like, right, come on, we've seen it in episode one for a second.
Yeah.
When's it going to be the entire Bessie episode? So he's driving down the coolant pipe.
He's having a great time. And then, so he's being chased, and there's a bit where one of the soldiers jumps in the back of Bessie, and they're wrestling.
Yeah,
the
big fight.
Yeah, that's good. That looks impressive. Ultimately, we end up with the Doctor hiding in a bin.
Yeah,
hiding in a bin.
Yeah,
like Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah,
he comes up literally with the bin on his head.
He does have the. You got to have the bin on your the bin lid on your head, haven't you?
God.
Yeah.
So funny. Yeah.
Wasn't there a board game? I'm taking such a tangent here. In the late 70s, early 80s, where it was about alley cats and there was a bin and you could put old fish bones in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there was. Yeah. It was a bit like Buckaroo.
Yeah.
And you had to take them off and then it not burst out.
So you looked at me second there like I was mad. No, definitely.
There was.
I've got a vague memory. Yeah. Please tell us.
I can't remember. It was like, those darn bin cats.
Yeah.
trashy pussies. That wasn't called that, wasn't it?
That was a film.
Yeah.
I think the Weezing family will be in touch.
It was basically a Buckaroo. You had to take the little plastic bits off and not disturb.
They were like little fish skeletons.
Yes, that's right. I remember that.
Like Pop-Up Pirate.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. Mm.
What's Pop-Up Pirate?
Pop-Up Pirate's a pirate in a barrel.
Oh, is that when you pull the sword out the barrel?
Yeah,
pops.
Like Ironside.
Like Ironside.
That was a real genre of game, wasn't it? Which was something surprising will happen eventually.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have to sort of be prepared.
Yes.
Did you ever play Gaylord Pipistrel Bat? Go, go, go. Is a plastic pipistrel bat that looked very butch, and you had to put plastic penises into it. And when he went, oh! That's
you
the
lose,
game.
You
that
lose.
Was an episode of Ironside.
Yeah. That was the originator of it.
Right.
Yeah. Great game that was. Only by Waddington's. Yeah.
Yeah, the dog hides in the bin. He then doesn't he follow a Primord and there's one of the very handily placed fire extinguishers which is
just everywhere
literally just resting on the side.
It's halfway upstairs in the middle of some bracken in case off a
fire
tree
on this metal staircase.
Absolutely. That's right. No sense. They haven't even built it like a little box that it might be in to make notes. It's like hanging off of a gantry. So he...
if he gets hungry, does that mean there's a convenient Twix?
Yeah. That's a thing.
400 yards. He needs the lav.
The doctor then meets Evil Liz.
Oh, I love Evil
Liz.
I love Evil Liz and her black hairdo.
She's
so cool.
He's like, Liz, you know me? And she's like, how do you know my name?
Yeah. She's like, silence, prisoner.
Yeah.
And
then she takes him to Evil Brigadier.
You mean brigade leader?
Brigade leader. Yeah.
With
apologies.
An eye patch and a scar.
Oh, he looks fucking great.
And he's great as Evil Brig.
Mm. And he's loving it.
So good. Oh, they're both loving it, though.
I mean, I read them both saying it, but it must have been so fun playing a different part.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What I like is the Doctor just completely befuddled by it all. Yeah. The Time Lord.
Yeah,
who's seen and done everything.
Can't
but
put
he
two
can't
two
quite
together.
Wrap his head around what's going on.
Yeah. He needs to meet everyone. He needs to meet Evil Benton. He needs to meet Evil.
But Evil Benton and Good Benton. It's the same bit of fucking balsa wood.
Yeah. Who gives a shit?
God, Benton. You stay there.
Yeah.
Go on then. That's it. Yeah, stop.
And he works out as well that they are ahead by about sort of 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours ahead.
So we know that like whatever happens is going to predestine whatever happens.
But he knows they're 3 hours ahead, but he hasn't quite worked out he's in a parallel world. but he knows they're 3 hours ahead of something.
Yeah.
Because if he hasn't worked out it's a parallel world, how does he work out the 3 hours ahead of what's going on in the other parallel?
It doesn't make any sense.
Anyway.
Yeah. So he knows everyone, and he's. And then they're like, okay, so he's trying to establish what are the similarities between his world and here. He goes, oh, what about Sir Keith? What about my good friend Sir Keith? And they're like, oh, Sir Keith,
he's dead.
He was in a car accident.
Yeah. Yeah. 100 car accidents.
Yeah.
Which happens on our world.
Yeah.
He was driving 100 cars at once.
Yes.
Yeah.
He joined Maureen's driving school.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Of course, in their world, She's very good at driving.
Yeah, yeah. She was the best driver. Yeah.
The husband was a duffer.
He was just in the
she'd
passenger
seat. She'd be going, whoa, yeah. Worry about gently down the car.
He was a terrible passenger. She was a great driver.
Yeah.
So whoa, stop looking there.
He had the door open and was just...
a terrible passenger.
So his legs hanging out.
With his arse out.
Yeah. Whoa.
Welcome to passenger school in the parallel universe. That's brilliant.
It's a good
passenger school. These people have never been good passengers. Just a guy with a massive bundle of peas.
Yeah. Mashed potato. Just a big bowl of
it. Covered in mashed potato. Yeah. We need to just teach these people
to be passengers.
It was on just after Super Child, where a child had to go and look after Super Nanny.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And a little bit on after the kids show Red Graham. where you got a Red Graham badge for how much litter you could throw
out the window.
At a window.
Yeah.
And their dog Silver.
Trini and Susanna would do how to look good wearing...
How to look good wearing every item of clothes.
you ever bought, yeah.
There's bottom of the bottoms.
Yeah.
where there was a chart for speaking word.
Yeah.
And number one...
What I would say about this is, my favourite thing is to watch all of the extras who are in white coats. At one point, they like pan over and one of the extras realises he's in shot and like scarpers.
Yeah, shit.
And runs out the way. And they're all doing excellent work because they're all obviously all told to look like they're busy. But
be busy, yeah.
Be busy, yeah. Change things, whatever. So yeah, so Keith is dead, my goodness. And so that's terrifying.
I like the way the doctor works out that this is a science labour camp.
Yes.
Ooh,
that's horrible, isn't it?
Labour camp.
He escaped from Benton by saying, "Hey, Benton, look up, smell this cheese.
Smell my finger."
And then he just attacks him.
Yeah.
Runs into the lab. And then Benton pulls a gun on him.
Yeah.
End of part three.
Goodness.
Wow. Goodness.
I mean, how much more can we stand of this?
Yeah.
Well, give me four more.
Yeah.
Are we doing correspondence at the end of...
We do normally drip feed them out.
Yeah.
Over, but whilst John finds let's think of some more backwards shows.
Some fun backwards shows.
Some fun backwards shows.
The Life of Cleanliness.
West, oh, that's good.
With Mr. Grass... Coach.
Yes, some fathers have never had children. It's all about Francine Spencer, who's really good at everything she does.
Yes, so competent.
So
it's
competent.
Terrifying.
She's really ridiculously competent and drives everyone wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, please come back, Francine.
Mum's Navy.
Lovely.
Where
sorry, I'm trying to get
the internet.
No,
it's fine. We're having lots of fun here.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's, of course...
remember Mum's Navy.
Gossip Day, which is a bit like Newsnight. It's all rumours.
Yes.
Here we go.
Oh, I've heard. Her
well,
lives at
to
number
my
10.
Spies. Yeah. Her indoors at number 10. She's got a new policy. That butter wouldn't melt.
Okay, correspondent.
Oh!
Thank you. Andrew F.
Yes.
One of the best Pertwees. The Prime Worlds are surprisingly creepy, and the Parallel Earth stuff's a great idea.
Mm.
Just don't ask how the Doctor got that console through the TARDIS doors.
Good point. Very good point.
Matt Cunnington, to me a stone-cold classic, maybe a tad over long. Mm. Courtney relishes playing the bad guy.
Yeah.
A well-written story that wouldn't have looked out of place in Quatermass.
Mm.
Stories like this made me ignore the Earth-boundness of Series 7.
Yes.
Colour Horizon Review says, Inferno. A script where all the dialogue is written in capital fucking letters because of all the fucking shouting. Doctor, Stallman, you're a cunt, sir. And where is Greg Sutton, Brigadier? He's fingering Petra Williams against the drill head.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Joe Short says, eye patch Brig could interrogate me all day long.
Oh.
He does to me what the lingerie section of the Littlewoods catalogue does to Bert.
Oh.
Good God.
Nick Burden, an absolute classic. Pertwee and co are such a team at the end of their first season. Action by Havoc.
Mm.
Generally terrifying situation, and it's horrifying to think of all the fate of all those the doctor leaves behind at the end.
Yeah.
No wonder he still has a fear of fire and mind of evil.
Yeah.
Don't read them all out, babe.
I was going to say, I'll stop there.
Don't read
Lovely.
Them all out,
babe. Well, there you go. That is
save some, haven't we,
episodes
babe?
1 to 3 of Inferno.
Yeah.
Join us
it's
next week.
It's a shame
week.
We're not going to do any more.
Yeah. That is us done.
Join us next week when we're going to do Time of the Rani.
Yeah.
Again. But we're going to do it 3 times all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Until
something
then.
To look out for.
Keep a wheezing and a groaning.
A baskababs, kabababababoo.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.